Previously on Taz Royale.
In each of those rooms, we're going to find something to turn off portions of the fire.
Except for Hasty Jane. She is still sort of nowhere to be seen after running off flash speed after attacking Hippocrates.
Duba, we're both watching now.
Directions.
So much pressure.
Wish to.
Okay, you both come with me. How about that? Helgramit and Lorovith.
Eventually, we're going to have to kill each other, right?
But now is not your time.
You recognize this undead figure pretty quickly. It is Randolph.
Randolph attacked you before anything else happened. Did you kill Randolph, Lorovith?
Which time? Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Taz Royale, our Battle Royale winner-take-all season of the Adventure Zone. We are currently nearly wrapping up the Trial of Necromancy, the sixth trial.
You know what they call Taz Royale in France?
Are we going to do it every episode? Because no, I know it's been a while since we've recorded.
It's a new one I came up with. I came up with a new one.
Okay. What do they call Taz Royale?
It's a different punchline.
What do they call Taz Royale?
Do you know what they call Taz Royale in France?
No.
Les
what are they?
Incompétences.
Okay. At the end of the last episode, we had a bit of a showdown between Lorovith, Dreamweaver, Gonjabon, and...
That can't be right. Is
that's
that right?
A lot of people forget the Dreamweaver.
But Dream Wanderer, yeah.
Dream Wanderer.
A lot of people
Dream
do
Weaver
forget
is that, that classic from
Dreamweaver!
All my ears.
Gary Wright.
You had a confrontation with the undead form of Randolph, through which Duber realized that you had terminated him during a previous trial. We were in the midst of putting out a fire to expose a hidden ladder up to the rooftop, where you all were hoping to make a hasty retreat in order to greet the sunrise a little bit faster and escape the hordes of undead thrall that are crawling all over this mansion at this point. As we come back to that moment of Duber and Lorovith sort of having this discussion, you all hear from downstairs, you're standing at sort of the top landing of this first floor staircase, from downstairs you hear a shriek, a long sort of prolonged pain shriek, followed by the sound of a loud chiming bell from outside. Helgramit, I think because you put him in that position, you realize that was the sound of, oh shit, where'd he go? Oh, I already deleted him. Wow. His name wasn't Rigatoni.
It was Formaggio Bucatini.
Formaggio Bucatini. God, I deleted him too fast from the virtual tabletop. There's 64
from your mind.
For the record, I was going to try to find a way to rescue him this session. So Griffin murdered him.
I did. I've murdered so many guys this season. You also hear the sound of Scorpo shouting from deeper in the study. Rictus, you are standing there with Hippocrates and Pranklin. Scorpo comes running out of the last of these bedroom suites and shouts, "Okay, I got mine. Everyone else?" You look over and see that the prismatic fire at this point has been doused completely, revealing the ladder leading upwards. And without missing a beat, Pranklin's going to go ahead and start climbing up onto the rooftop. What are the rest of you doing?
Griffin?
Yes.
Through, like, hearing the bells chime and the people around us, would Rictus be able to figure out, besides Hasty Jane, if there's anyone left?
Who you don't have, like, tabs on right now?
Yeah.
I will go ahead and say, I don't know if Rictus would know this, but Lorovith probably would remember that Burger Man ran off into the woods at some point and has not been accounted for yet.
Okay, so the seven of us, including Pranklin, Rictus, yeah. Scorpo, Hippocrates, Lorovith, Duber, Helgramit, Hasty, yes. Jane, Pranklin, and Burgerman.
Yes, those are the nine contestants, the nine aspirants still remaining.
Okay, we have a few minutes. I'm going to try to find Hasty Jane before I go up.
Okay, where are you going to be looking? Hippocrates kind of nods at you and begins lumbering towards the ladder as well.
Why,
wait, wait, why?
Are you guys regrouping in the study here?
No, we're separate. We're separate. Helgram, okay. Wait. Yeah, we're...
Yeah, Helgram, you're Helgram, not in the suite.
You're
right.
We've been in the suites.
Sure.
And Lorvith was in the library, and there was no Hasty Jane there, so I'm going to head towards the guest rooms.
Okay, cool. You scuttle over to the western wing of the second floor towards the guest rooms. Before we get to that, Helgramet and Lorvith, what are you all doing? Duber is just kind of staring at you, Lorvith.
Up, Duber.
Lorvith like, pats his shoulder.
Up, Duber, up. We must away.
He takes a step back from you, kind of
Duber,
reflexively.
Dudo. Dudo, up.
You know, I think you two need a moment. Why don't I scuttle like so many others have done? And I'm going to go to the study.
I didn't realize you were still here, Bugman.
Oh, that hurts a little.
To be frank, but I'm that's looking at an overhead map, and I didn't realize.
Yeah, I know. Right. Yes, I know. I'll just go into the study and let you two have this dramatic family moment.
Okay. Helgramet, you head into the study where you see Hippocrates' black feathered tail sort of scuttling up the... So much scuttling this episode. Up
Everybody's
the fireplace ladder. Scorpo is the only one still in here. He starts to go towards the ladder, then turns back towards you and is like,
why don't you go first?
No, that's okay. You go ahead you're a little heavier than I am, so this will check and make sure the stairs are okay.
Fine. Just don't... I'm trying to trust you, Helgram.
Yes, now you should. Absolutely. What am I going to do, stab you in the back?
Well, I have a poisonous barbed tail back there, so it's not the place I'd recommend.
Oh, boy, I'm glad you pointed that out.
Scorpo actually does scuttle up the ladder up towards the rooftop. Click, click, click. Helgramet, are you following?
I think I'm going to pause.
Okay.
Right at the base of the ladder.
Okay. You are so paused. Lorevith.
Yeah. Duber, I don't understand. You saw that terrible dragon I saved you from with a fireball, and now we must away.
That was Randolph. You said you killed him again.
Oh, no. Duba, I understand what's happened here. Illusory magics. I was afraid of this. Very powerful illusory magics are at work here, Duba. They made me see a dragon you saw so that me attack Randall. could not.
His name was Randolph.
That's what I said. I swallowed the F. It's an accent, Duba.
Give me a persuasion check if you're actually trying... Or, I'm sorry, a deception check. Fucking definitely. Definitely one of the purest deception checks we've had in a while.
15. Very good.
Okay. With a 15 deception check, Duba is still looking at you skeptically, but he sort of shakes his head and says, it's not safe. Sure enough, at this point, you can see down the stairs the corpse mound that just killed Jimmy Linguini has begun to scuttle in your direction.
Everybody's scuttling.
Where's the ups? Like, I see corpse mound, right?
Sorry, corpse mound is technically down here. I'm showing it to you.
So we're on the second level, right? So I want to follow in the way Helgram is going.
Okay, yeah. You follow in through that door. Duber sort of walks alongside you in towards the study, in towards the ladder. Rictus, we'll hop over to you. You walk into this sort of long hallway leading into the west wing where the guest rooms are. Give me a perception check, please.
Okay. 19 plus 5, a 24.
Okay, you walk in, you spot a few doors into some small, like, modest bedrooms on the right side of the hall here. But you hear the sound of running water coming from the left side, and as you open up the door where you're hearing the sound from, you see a small sort of common restroom.
I knock first.
Okay.
I'm not just going to walk into it. I hear running water, Griffin. I don't think zombies are washing their hands.
Yeah, that's a fair point. You knock first, and within a half second, the door is swung wide open, and inside you see Hasty Jane, who appears to be somewhat distraught. She is still holding in her hand the candlestick that she used to bludgeon Hippocrates earlier in the trial. She looks at you, and she says, "Hi, Rictus."
Hey, Jane. We got access to the roof, so we can head up there and give us another layer of safety. And
is Hippocrates still alive?
Yeah, no, he's fine. Listen, heat of the moment stuff. He's fine. There's
she
a lot going
turns,
on.
She turns on her heels and throws the candlestick at the mirror over the sink, shattering it. She shouts, "Damn it!"
Yeah, no, cool. I hate mirrors too.
I didn't even. I made a mistake, and I didn't even. He didn't even die. From
That's
it.
Better, isn't it?
Rictus, I don't. I don't want to fucking kill anybody, man.
Yeah,
and I also don't want to die. So those seem to be the only two options here. And I realized a long time ago I'm in pretty well over my head. It may surprise you to learn I'm actually not the most competitive person out there. And I don't know what to do. And I thought this was my chance to have my heel turn. And I couldn't even fucking do that right, Rictus. So what's the other way out? Why shouldn't I just stay in this bathroom and hide and hope for the best and not run into the guy I just tried to kill?
You know, I've actually been thinking about this a lot, Jane, and I think that it has been kind of positioned to us. Like, there are only two options, you know, kill or be killed. But there's two other options. And option one is survive, right? Because the challenges themselves have been killing people, right? And limiting the competitors. And all you have to do is survive. But there's a fourth option that has only just occurred to me, like, today. There's a set amount of trials, Jane. And their assumption is it will come down to one person left. That there can only be one person left. But that's assuming that the people who are left want to kill the others and be the only person left.
You really believe that? She says.
I mean, I don't know, but if you're talking about there's no other options, there are. And if you look at your wrist like I look at my wrist, we are exponentially more powerful than we were when these trials started. At that point, we were completely beholden to the rules and what we were told to do. We each had one spell, but look at us now.
I know, I can move dirt with my mind.
Sick, yeah. You couldn't do that before, right?
No, I couldn't. Give me just a sort of general persuasion check here. I don't know what other kind of, like,
13 plus 1, 14.
Okay. She nods. She says, "Sorry about the mirror.
It's not mine."
Yeah, good point. Fuck this mansion for
real. Yeah, I don't care.
She picks up the candlestick and smashes another mirror.
Okay, but we are unlimited. Yeah, we're on a time frame.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, let's go. And she darts down the hallway into the study, sees everybody else standing in the study, does a quick pan around looking for Hippocrates, doesn't see him, and says, "Where'd everyone go?"
"Oh, through the fireplace up. Let me go first, though, because Hippocrates is already up there."
Yeah, smooth things over, maybe?
Yeah, I can buffer.
Okay, cool. All right, Rictus, you head up the ladder as well. Lorevith, Duber, Hellgrammet, You're still in here with Hasty Jane from the north side of the study where there is the back staircase leading up. You hear the sound of the shuffling dead as another corpse mound begins to make its way up. Yeah. Every day, they're shuffling.
Bum, 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 bum.
That's when they're not scuttling.
Who wants to go up the ladder next?
You go ahead. I tell you what, Duber, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, fine. Duber runs.
That's the only
over.
Thing I feel comfortable with. So
yeah, Duber runs up the fireplace, up to the ladder, and clambers upwards. Hasty Jane says, "I'm going to go next, but I'm really fast," and she zooms towards the ladder and up onto the roof as well, leaving just Helgram and Lorvith down here.
Oh, well. I think one of us should
probably stay here. Lorvith turns and goes up.
Okay, Lorvith.
I guess it's me.
Turns and goes up the ladder onto the rooftop as well, behind Duber and Helgramet.
Rictus shouts down, "We'll always remember your noble sacrifice, buying us time, Helgramet."
How close is the mound?
10 feet, 20 feet.
Okay.
You just see it sort of appearing around the staircase coming up onto the second floor.
Okay. Helgramit's going to scramble up the ladder.
Okay.
And then pour the vial of holy water down on the rungs of the ladder.
Okay, yes. You just make it up the ladder as the two corpse mounds from below reach the study where you are. As you climb up, you reach down and dump this vial out of your satchel, and you hear one of the corpse mounds shuffle upwards. You're not sure if they would be able to get up this ladder in any case, but you hear sizzling and this very hollow screaming coming from down below you as a very foul vapor begins to flood up the up the chute.
Oh, hell, Grandma farted.
I didn't do it. No, it wasn't me. It was the dog.
Hey, everybody. In case you've somehow missed it, Story and Song, the final graphic novel in our Adventure Zone Balance graphic novel series, comes out next week. You can pre-order it right now at theadventurezonecomic.com. If you pre-order from one of our indie bookstore partners, you'll get a book plate signed by one of us and Carrie. Book release event next week in Boston. Tickets are on sale now. It's going to be July 16th at 7 p.m. at the Chevalier Theater. Each ticket includes a signed paperback copy of Story and Song provided by Brookline Booksmith. And we have a special mid-month episode of Clubhouse on Tuesday, July 14th to celebrate the book coming out. And the regular monthly Clubhouse is still on the 21st, so check that out. We've got some new merch this month. There's a Trav Nation Centennial Magnet along with a bunch of other great stuff. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will also be donated to the Asian Pacific Environmental Network. So go check that out, macroymerch.com, and back to the show.
All right, we're over 70 episodes into our show. Let's learn everything. So let's do a quick progress check. Have we learned about quantum physics?
Yes, episode 59.
We haven't learned about the history of gossip yet, have we?
Yes, we have. Same episode, actually.
Have we talked to Tom Scott about his love of roller coasters?
Episode 64.
So how close are we to learning everything?
Bad news. We still haven't learned everything yet.
Oh, we're ruined!
No. It's good news as well. There is still a lot to learn. Woo! I'm Dr. Ella Hubber.
I'm regular Tom Lum.
I'm Caroline Roper, and on Let's Learn Everything, we learn about science and a bit of everything else too.
And although we haven't learned everything yet, I've got a pretty good feeling about this next episode.
Join us every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
If you want to know what's going on in the world of movies, you should be listening to Maximum Film so we can tell you all about it.
Okay, but what if you already know what's going on in the world of movies? What if you're kind of obsessed with movies, like maybe you have a problem?
Well, then you should definitely be listening to Maximum Film, because we too have that problem, and it's important you know you're not alone.
We're talking indies you'll want to seek out.
Blockbusters and blockbusting wannabes.
Classics we can't get enough of.
I'm comedian and writer Kevin Avery.
I'm film critic Alonzo Duraldi.
I'm festival programmer and producer Drea Clark.
Together, we're Maximum Film, smart about movies in Hollywood, so you don't have to be.
But if you already are, that's also great. And hey, we see you.
New episodes every week on MaximumFun.org.
You all make it up onto the roof. If you can scroll up to the top part of our map here, you will see where our eight heroes have gathered. As you reach the roof, it is quite large with these sloped, sort of tiled, shingled rooftops with a sort of flat area on the very top where these sort of stovetop, what do you call those, stovepipe exhaust ports for some of the other fireplaces.
Chimneys?
I guess you would call them chimneys. Houses don't really have exhaust ports.
No, I think it might be stovepipe exhaust ports for fireplaces.
Guys, I haven't lived
We lost a lot of boffins to bring you these plans of this manner. You can see this is the turbo thermal exhaust port for the
that's the one weak point
for the temperature shifting chambers.
It's the one place you have to place the shot to destroy the Death Star.
Okay. Other than these stovepipe exhaust port for fireplaces that you see poking out of
for
this
big boys.
Flat section of roof here for big boys, the last thing that you see is a sundial that is positioned sort of on the southern edge of this flat part of the roof. And you can see where the sunlight, as it is creeping over the precipice of the Octave Ziggurat Island, is inching closer and closer towards it. Everyone is sort of, everybody else, I should say, is sort of gathered around this this sundial, watching, sort of waiting expectantly, waiting for the sunlight to reach it. And just as it's about 6 or so inches away from reaching the sundial, you hear a shriek from the woods to the east. And it is a loud, cartoonish shriek, followed by another bell. And a few seconds after that, a shadow comes flying out of the
trees. He's
the
well done now.
Trees. And a burger-headed corpse lands on the roof next to you. And you can see the now-turned form of Burger Man, who ran off after confronting Lorevith and has been killed and really fiercely yeeted back towards the manor here, landing on the rooftop with you. Just seconds after that, there is a loud pounding sound. The trees rustle sort of in rhythm. You all see, parting the canopy of trees, a pointy felt hat about the size of like a windmill appear. And moments later, the undead form of Pip, the enlarging, reducing gnome zombie, who, when you last saw him, Helgrammet, after saving Duber in the sort of piano lounge room, was already pretty big. He has, like, quintupled in size. He is 35, 40 feet tall at this point, as tall as the building itself. He appears to be the one who just chucked Burger Man up here in a tizzy.
Which is hilarious.
It is quite funny. As he parts through the canopy of trees, you see him reach down and begin to scoop up some of the remaining zombies that you all have not destroyed at this point with holy water and magics. And he is going to charge towards the manor, but before he does that, let's roll initiative and get into it. Sorry, I did not realize that there was still initiative going.
Oh, yeah. 16 plus 2. 18.
So you got 11, Lorevith. Helgrammet got what?
Oh, yeah. 7 plus 1. 8.
I'm looking at my adventurer kit for maybe the first time this entire, like, campaign. And within it is a, quote, little bag of sand, end quote. And I want to know how many meetings went into if it needed to be little or not.
Yeah, probably a lot. I mean, it's got to be for Indiana Jones stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, first in the order is Rictus. Rictus, the eight of you are gathered here on the roof. Burgerman is the only sort of foe facing you all on the roof, but you do have a fast encroaching gigantic zombie wizard also coming in from the southeast here.
Cool.
What would you like to do?
It's a great question, Griffin. Thank you for asking. I'm going to...
Here it comes. Yeah. Drop it on us, King.
You know what? Magic missile, Pip.
Oh!
Casting it at second level.
All right, go ahead and roll your... What is that, 4d4?
Trav, I'm sorry, man. I didn't know you're... I was worried I was hyping it up too much. I didn't know you were about to drop the double M on him.
That was magical.
Is this our
magical.
First magic missile of our wizard-based
it is.
Season of the Adventure Zone?
10 points of damage.
Nice.
You launch this over at Pip. It strikes him square. Well, I guess four darts fly towards Pip, and they appear to be just doing largely cosmetic damage.
I aim for his hat.
You see him. Oh, shit. You didn't say that, man.
I'm going to knock his hat off.
Give me a ranged attack roll just to see how... Magic missile always hits. You're going to hit him. But if you want to knock his fucking hat off, that's going to be... I'm going to need a good roll for that.
A two.
It's a two. You hit him in the feet.
You
hit him in the feet. You miss his hat just about as bad as you can. All four go down and hit his feet. He looks at you like you're some sort of weird perv or something. Okay. Any other stuff on your turn?
Yes. I'm also going to cast Shadow Blade, which is a bonus action to summon my weird, creepy dark sword thing.
Okay. You so conjure. You now have your weird, creepy dark sword. Where would you like to position yourself?
I'm going to position myself betwixt Burgerman and everybody else.
Okay.
Since I've got a sword, and I don't know if anybody else has a weapon.
Cool. Next in the order is Pip, the giant. Pip, who you can see was sort of like leaning down as he stomped in the direction of the manor, stands up to his full height and like a child putting pieces down on a game board, you see him drop down more piles of zombies, two more corpse mounds here, numbering about, just about the remaining 20 or so wizards that you all have not destroyed have appeared on the roof. And having done that, Pip stands back up here, towering in front of the edge of the rooftop here. And just as easily, he reaches forward and grabs that sundial just as the sunlight was approaching it. And is now holding it sort of in his enclosed fist, lower out of the reach of the sunlight.
So it's not just decorative. It actually has some impact on mechanics?
It would appear so.
Oh, man.
Next in the order is Burgerman. Burgerman, he's going to do sort of his classic thing that Burgerman knows how to do. it is also his favorite movie musical. He is going to cast Grease. He opens his mouth and from his sweaty patty begins to emerge a torrent of slick grease, which is going to cover the ground in a 10-foot square.
He made me greasy.
He is going to put that actually right here, next to the sloped edge of the roof. We are going to get a dex save here from Duber and Pranklin. Going to get a 15 plus 3. Duber saves. You see him start to slip slide around, but he manages to keep his footing. Pranklin is going to... not do quite as well. Pranklin rolls a 4. Pranklin slips off of his feet and begins to tumble towards the edge of the roof. Duber manages to grab his hand. He is prone, but Pranklin is still sort of on terra firma. Next in the order is Lorevith. Lorevith, as we get to your turn, the other sort of NPCs here, you see Scorpo and Hippocrates and Hasty Jane are going to go and begin to... Actually, they're going to go over here to this corpse mound a little bit further from Burgerman and engage in combat with them so I don't have to continue to take seven actions between your guys' turns. What would you like to do?
I have to get greasy with the monkey. I have to go over to get my son. He's in a greasy spot right now, and he needs me. Even okay. though he's not super proud of me right now, I gotta go help him. And I maybe have to kill Franklin to do it.
Wait, whoa.
We're just gonna see. Hey, Trav, it's just like at Nawab, man. I'm gonna check the spice level, and I'm gonna decide from there, all right?
Okay, Lorevith, you head over towards Duber and Franklin. You can see Duber is sort of struggling to stay on his feet, but he's got a firm grasp on Franklin's wrist, holding him upright, keeping him from slipping off the roof. Duber says, Lorevith, grab his other hand. Help me.
Grab Franklin's other hand. Okay, yeah. Yeah, okay.
All right, you're going to help?
Yes.
Give me a dexterity saving throw as you step into the grease to help.
Eight.
Okay. You are successful in helping get Franklin out of the grease. You, however, begin to lose your footing as well and begin to slip slide around. Give me another dex save just to see if you can stay on the flat part of the roof as you begin to spiral out of control.
Oh, that's a five.
No, okay. You begin to slide down the tiles. Duber is already holding Franklin, and you can see looks at you for just a second and does not reflexively reach out to grab your hand in the way
Franklin
that he...
Franklin doesn't?
Duber does not.
Duber doesn't reflexively.
No.
How quickly a 15 has faded.
You have managed to not completely fall off the roof. However, you are in a somewhat precarious spot here. And used your move action. You do still have a regular action that you can take here. You are sliding, for those not looking at a battle map, which is everybody else hearing this, in the direction of the giant zombie pip also. If you'd like to use your action to try and, like, unfuck this situation by taking, like, another move action instead of a regular action.
Oh, can or, you do like, that? Is that an option?
Yeah, for sure. You do have some options here. Your regular action, you can more or less...
You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to... I'm going to take this... Not a move action, but I'm going to take, well, I guess basically a move action to just try to get my bearings and try to stop the slide.
Yeah,
and try
easy.
To like get
yeah,
control
for sure.
of my.
Yes, you use your move action out of the grease. Now you are able to sort of gain some traction. You're sliding sort of in the direction that the shingles are facing, so it's tough to kind of like get some footing, but you're a big enough dude that you can kind of just like put your hands down and use the friction to stop yourself. So you are ungreased and able to sort of get to your feet here. It is a bit tricky footing, but you are no longer in danger of falling off the roof. Next in the order, is the corpse mound. The corpse mound is going to crawl in Burgerman's direction to lend some aid, and Rictus, is going to, make a few attacks towards you.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Unless you have some manner of...
No.
All right, so rolling that. Yes, that is a 20.
What? They have a plus 11?
Yeah, it's a lot of zombies, man. When you're fighting a sort of horde of enemies that you have not damaged yet, they are sort of at their most
dangerous. Yeah,
that's dangerous.
That's just got me.
Their first attack is not going to deal any damage. Instead, they are going to grapple you with their first attack. Their second attack, they are now going to attempt to bite you as you are sort of held into them. That is going to be 18.
Yeah.
Versus AC. Okay. Make a constitution saving throw for me, please.
One.
Plus one.
No.
to.
Oh, wow.
It's insufficient. Okay, you are going to take 5 points of crushing damage just from their jaws sort of smashing down on your arms as you're trying to pull yourself away from them. And then you are also going to take 6 points of necrotic damage, which you're going to continue to take on your turn until you are able to save from this condition.
So that's 11 total. Oh, wait. They have disadvantage on attack rolls against me.
You have protection against evil.
Yeah,
and
good and evil.
Good and evil. Yeah, okay, excellent. Let me roll both of those attacks again, though. If the first one,
it's gonna be hard with a plus 11. I realize, but
yeah, anything's possible. Yeah, 21 on the grapple.
Yeah,
still gonna hit, and on the bite.
Okay,
another.
Never 20. Mind. Yeah. Okay, 11 right. points.
11 points of damage. Speaking of that poison, Hellgrammet, you are still under the effects of it from your sort of confrontation down in the guest room earlier.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Hellgrammet has resistance to poison.
Oh.
So how does that manifest?
That would just mean half damage. Okay. Of the 7 points of damage that you're supposed to take, you would instead take 4. And you now get to try and roll a con save to beat that before we get into your turn.
A con save would do this. And that is a 4.
No, you are still under the effects of the poison.
Nice.
So you are sort of standing right next to where Rictus has been pulled into the corpse mound and is being grappled and also poisoned. Burgerman is sort of looming overhead. On the other side of the roof, you have Hasty Jane, Hippocrates, and Scorpo. Scorpo kind of keeping the peace between the other two as they try to fend off the corpse mound on the other side of the roof. You have Duber, Pranklin, and Lorevith, who just went over sort of the edge of the flat part of the roof towards the giant pit.
Everybody thinks he's going to be fine, though.
Yeah, everyone thinks Lorevith's going to be okay because he's so big.
He's like really so big. He's bigger than the roof. That's what Griffin didn't mention, is he's basically sitting
on
top.
He's basically tip size, yeah.
Is there more... are there any more corpse mounds that Pip can drop on us?
You don't see anything, no. This appears to be, like, the remainder of the corpse mounds. Aside from the ones down at the bottom of the fireplace that you dispatched with your holy water.
Is Pip a danger to Lorevith? Yeah, I mean, other than dropping stuff, can he reach us?
Easily. Yeah, I mean, he's been sort of manipulating objects on the roof pretty effortlessly at this point, as he grabbed that sort of sundial earlier would attest. He's a tremendous danger. I'll show you my cards. He's an enormous 40-foot tall zombie wizard. He's extraordinarily dangerous.
Okay. I am going to cast Infestation on the corpse mound trying to hurt Rictus.
Okay.
And I'm casting Bloat Flies, which have a tendency to eat decaying flesh.
Disgusting. So this only targets one creature.
Well, it's Hellgrammet. What do you expect?
Yeah. Okay, so it's going to take a con save. What level? You're casting this. It's a cantrip. So this would be 2d6 damage if it hits. So I will roll that con save now. No, just a 9. Okay, go ahead and roll 2d6 damage, and then we'll decide which direction it moves.
That would be 9.
All right. The corpse mound, you knock a couple of bodies off of it, which fall onto the sloped tile of the roof and tumble down to the ground 30 feet below. And roll a d4 to determine which direction these bloat flies, as they pick these corpses clean, which way they move them.
Okay. That says 4.
With a 4, this is going to go to the west. They don't have a ton of room to go here as they run into one of the house exhausts. However, that is enough to knock them off of Rictus. I will break the grapple condition on him. Any other thing you want to do on your turn, Hellgrammet? You can move or bonus action if you have anything.
I'm going to cast Misty Step on myself.
okay.
which is a bonus action.
Okay.
And move down to that little, I don't know, base, not basement, that little
balcony.
Balcony on at stage left.
At stage left. Okay, yeah, so down.
No, over here, over here, over here.
Okay. That's the right side of the map. I guess it would be. Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, Helgrim, you having sort of pried this pile of zombies off of Rictus, you do an acrobatic little roll down the slope tile of the roof, and actually give me an acrobatics check. This is not like a huge fall. You're basically dropping down, you know, 6 feet or so down to the balcony on the second floor of the house.
Okay.
Yeah, easy. You land on your feet 18. With 18, easy. You tumble down the tiles, land on, you know, one knee and one hand, and manage to keep your footing as you kind of disengage from the battle a bit. Okay, next in the order is Rictus. Rictus, you have been sort of pried free of the corpse mound. You are prone, but you are need to give me a con save first to check if you are free of the poison.
An 18 total.
18 hits it exactly. Adrenaline pumping through your body. You feel it start to kind of push out the pain and exhaustion you were feeling from whatever these this corpse man infected you with, and you have saved from the poison.
Excellent.
What do you want to do?
I'm going to cast Unseen Servant.
Okay.
On Hip's shoulder.
Okay.
To have the servant, like, pull his hair and poke him and kind of scurry around in an invisible, annoying way.
That's very cool. I like that use of Unseen Servant. I think it's going to have to be a save from Pip, right? Like, just to see if he can figure out what's going on or to get this thing off of him. I'll make a wisdom save, maybe, for Pip, just to see if his, like, zombie brain can really comprehend, like, there's an invisible servant fucking around with me right now. Absolutely not. No. That is a 5 minus 3, a 2. So, yeah, sure enough, I assume you were trying to sort of distract Pip here,
yeah.
And you have done so swimmingly. He takes one step away from the roof, and begins sort of like slowly swatting at his head, trying to grab your unseen servant, which, you know, you can't see, but you do continue to see his hat like get knocked around and see his hair get sort of tugged around. You seem to have distracted Pip for at least this round.
Sick. Then I'm going to stand up.
Yes, that is your move. And then your bonus.
I don't think I have any bonus actions, but do I see, is the corpse of the gentleman up here, or is he still downstairs?
He is still downstairs. You do not see. He might be in one of these piles of corpses. He may be.
Do I see any corpses I recognize?
Griffin, if you don't know, who does?
Yeah, that's a fair question. Point. yeah, give me a an investigation check.
A 10 total.
10 total. Who would you see? I'll say there's a couple of faces that you recognize in the corpse pile that was just attacking you. One face you recognize because it's just like so brilliant and some might say even dazzling. You see Bobby Dazzler's sort of handsome visage poking out of the corpse mound. The other thing that you see, you take note of because it is slightly larger than a lot of the other corpses here in the mound, you see the undead form of Gracon in the pile.
Excellent.
These are not going to be individual NPCs. I'll sort of leave them off to the side here for reference. They are sort of part of the corpse mound for all intents and purposes.
Can I try to speak to them?
Yes. All attempts at diplomacy with... Well, I say that, and Justin kind of had a moment with Randolph, so yes, if you would like to, speaking as a free action.
He hadn't been corpse-moundified, though. As
I would make the argument, and maybe this will make it an arcana check, but as a necromancer, speaking with corpses is something that...
Don't try to act like you didn't take the speak with dead spell.
I did.
I know that you regret that. I know it keeps you
up. That wasn't up for me. That wasn't up to me.
Oh, right. That's fair. You definitely would have grabbed that one.
Bobby Gracon, if you're in there, if you can hear me, you target the ones that killed you, but it was the responsibility of the Octave, of the games themselves, that you died.
I mean,
Travis not only is satisfied with like talking to the dead, he wants it to moral reasoning.
No, I mean, problem. I see what you are doing. You are trying to sort of exploit the rules as established of like cause of death. I will allow a persuasion check here, but I'm going to say it's going to need to be like a this will work on like a 20 or above.
Not quite. Just has to do with an 8.
Yeah, there you get no response from Bobby Dazzler or Gracon to your plea. Okay, next in the order is Pip. I'm going to make Pip do another wisdom saving throw, and if he can't pass it, let's say he's trying to beat a... What is your spell save, Trav?
My spell save is it... Okay, my spell save is 14.
Okay.
Is he at least going to have... Is it going to have an effect this turn one way or the other?
Yes. Okay. Let's roll that. Okay, no. He rolls a... Is that a Z? Yeah, he rolls a 0, which is cool. I don't know that we've ever actually seen that dice result before, but he gets a 0 total, and as such is going to kind of continue flailing around, taking another step back, still holding on to the sundial. Lorevith, give me a perception check, please. You are sort of getting a front row center... sort of view of Pip as he is sort of flailing around like this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, 19.
Oh, hell yeah.
20.
As Pip is flailing, you know, he's swatting around at his head, where this unseen servant is fucking around with him. He is still holding the sundial in his hand, and every time he kind of like brings that hand up to try to swat away the invisible specter that is tormenting him, you see sunlight flashing off of the sundial as he sort of reaches up the hand holding it. You see very briefly it begins to sort of glow this blue light and tracing these runic patterns over it as it reaches the sunlight, and then he drags it back down, continuing to flail, and the pattern disappears. You see that kind of like flash and appear a couple of times as he is trying to rid himself of this ghost. Burgerman is up next. Burgerman is going to come towards you, Rictus, and is going to grab you by the shoulders and just point blank grease you. Point blank grease blast you.
Doesn't he have to try to grab me?
I mean, that was just for flavor. He doesn't actually grapple you, but he is going to just sort of like, you know, shoot his grease all over.
Okay.
Give me a dexterity saving throw, please.
That would be 21.
Hell yeah. All right.
You can try I duck. He wasn't expecting that.
You duck. The grease does like splash down behind you, covering a 10-foot square of the ground. But you have this like cool technique where you just don't move, and so you don't start to slip and fall. And he looks at you confused, like this has never happened before. Burgerman has greased a lot of guys in his life, and this is the first time that he's ever seen anyone.
You know what I mean?
No, yeah, for sure. Next in the order is Lorevith.
Yes, Lorevith. From his position on the roof, looks over to Pip and casts color spray.
Oh, nice.
Into Pip's face.
All right.
So you must survive a... Not survive. Succeed on a constitution saving throw.
Okay. Con save or blinded condition. What am I trying to beat here?
13.
That is a 10.
Great.
Okay, Pip now has the blinded condition. As he is sort of like swatting around trying to get the ghost off of him, you flash him with a spray of multicolored orbs, and he grabs his eyes reflexively.
And how big is he?
He's about 40 feet tall.
Shit.
Do you have a spell that works on 30 feet tall guys?
Yeah, okay, no, it's good. It's all good. It's just I didn't want this to work, but it does. It makes sense. Bad news for you, Pip. I just remembered spider climb last an hour. And I leap at Pip.
Okay, awesome, yeah. You leap forward. Give me either an acrobatics or athletics check, please.
18 minus 1, 17.
Yeah, for sure. You leap forward and your hands sort of find purchase on the tattered robes, almost like one of those big Velcro walls that you can like run and jump up onto. You stick to Pip's torso. Pip is now like fucking. Pip has a lot of stuff going on right now. He's swatting at the ghost, messing with his head. He's blinded from the color spray, and now he has Lorevith sort of grabbing onto his midsection like a koala bear. And you're just holding on. You've already used sort of an action and a move.
I'm going for the sundial. I'm trying to get to the sundial. So that was okay. That's my goal.
I think that will be. I think we'll resolve that or attempt to resolve that next turn. As we move on to the corpse mound. The corpse mound is going to approach Rictus. However, it is going to have to make a dexterity saving throw to get towards that. To get towards him in that grease. And is going to fail. You see these corpses start to climb in your direction. However, as soon as they reach the sort of perimeter of grease that Burgerman has laid down here, they just kind of are unable to figure out how to move forwards in their sort of shambling.
They don't
style.
Slip and fall down?
They are already sort of, this is a
I know, I was
going to
play Yakety Sax in my head when they did, and I was really
For all intents and purposes, you can Yakety Sax this moment. You. They are going to stop short of you and are simply unable to get in sort of grabbing distance. Then we move on to Helgrammet. Helgrammet, you are now sort of like posted up on this balcony. It's a chill mm-hmm. situation. There's a pitcher of iced tea set out here. And some magazines just like sitting on this little deck. It's like the battle that's happening sort of next to you and above you is like miles away, man. It's like pretty dope right here.
Okay, Helgrammet is going to cast a spell on Pip as well.
Okay.
He's going to cast Reduce on Pip.
Amazing.
Target size decreases. I don't know how you want to handle this. Decreases by one category.
Yeah, no, I mean, there is a very distinct way of determining this.
Super good time, by the way. I'm so excited about this. Love the moment for this. Well, I'm clinging to this man. Thank you.
So what he does is Helgrammet closes the centerfold of Playbug magazine and
gross.
Takes a little tiny sip of the ice.
It's a millipede, so it like takes a while to close the centerfold.
And he casts Reduce on good old Pip.
Okay, so this is going to take Pip down one size category. I don't know how to do that.
That's what I asked.
I don't know how to shrink his token on the.
Thing.
He was gargantuan. Now he's just going to be huge. See? Beep.
Oh, man. I just thought of something I should have done.
Waited till Justin wasn't on him.
Yeah. No, that's what I was going to say.
Justin.
Too.
I was going to enlarge Justin.
I mean. Great plan, Bugman!
It would have been like an Ultraman.
Would have been so much better the other way!
A kaiju.
Okay, you hang over the edge of the balcony.
What a kaiju!
You can see sort of where Pip is standing with Lorevith clambering all over him. You reach out your hand and cast Reduce. You see Pip shrinks sort of dramatically. This spell halves the size of whoever you cast it on. So Lorevith, you with spider climb, I'm not going to make you roll anything to sort of like keep your footing here. You are easily able to sort of like hang on. However, this has turned more from like a Shadow of the Colossus situation, and now is just more of like you're giving a very big man a hug. And Pip, I'm going to make Pip roll a dex save here. Okay, I think the sort of shock of being shrunk down in this way is going to cause him to drop the sundial. The sundial has now landed on the sort of patio on the ground, pretty far away from
the rooftop. How long does it take to fall?
How long does it take to fall?
Yeah,
I mean,
the
round of combat
up?
is six seconds. So he had already, the way he had already shrunk down, this was basically already on ground level anyway. What I'm saying is he is no longer holding it in his hand. It is now sort of free. And one last dex save to see if he can like stay upright with Lorevith on him. No, I don't think he can. Lorevith, Pip is going to sort of fall to his knees as well, now having been sort of shrunk down, just sort of the weight of your considerable frame holding onto his front side. He's going to kneel down to the ground. You are now just like, you know, 6 or so feet up off the ground as you're holding onto his torso still.
Okay.
As my bonus action...
Do I still have to wait for everybody else to do all their things? This is like... Where initiative starts to fail me. You know what I mean? Like, this, there's going to be so many people doing things.
Yeah, sure.
As my bonus action, I cast Misty Step again and grab the sundial.
That's a lot of interacting with shit. I mean, you can warp over to the sundial, but, like, grabbing it, it's like
that's another
a huge
action, really,
stone
grabbing it.
Plinth. Okay. It's like a big thing, so would not be easy for someone of your stature. Do you want to still... Misty step over there or stay on your
I'm gonna Misty step over there.
Okay, cool. You land adjacent to Lorevith and Pip and the sundial on the ground floor. Next up is Rictus. I don't know if Grease is
the word.
If you start your turn in a Grease is the word.
Grace is the word, is the main, is the most.
Okay, it's only if you enter the area or end your turn there, so you do not have to take a dex save.
So I can just move out of it?
You can just move out of it.
Sick. Okay, I'm going to do that and go over. How are Pranklin and Duber doing?
They're doing fine. It's actually been a while. I think at this point they are going to take steps away from the edge and start to engage Burgerman, who is sort of the closest target to them, but have not sort of taken any direct action yet.
Okay, cool. You know, I conjured my sword. It'd be a shame not to use it. I'm going to take a swing at Burgerman.
Okay. Go ahead and make your attack.
That's a 10.
A 10 against Burgerman. What is Burgerman's AC?
Oh, wait.
No, 10 does not.
It's still dark, right? The sun hasn't risen all the way?
Correct.
Then I have advantage with the Shadow Blade.
Oh, fuck yeah. All right.
That's a nat 20.
Oh, yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. That nat 20 is definitely going to do it. Okay, so you're going to roll double damage on this, and then add your modifier, please.
Okay. That is 2d8, 10, and 10.
Holy shit.
No, I don't have a modifier, so it's just 20.
You, not moving, right? Because you're, or are you moving out of the grease before you?
No, I'm going to swipe at him first.
Okay, yeah, you, Burgerman is still kind of like looking at you, slack-bunned, surprised that you did not succumb to his grease blast. And in that state of surprise, you swing the shadowed blade through the air, and... It's very sort of Kurosawa, just like he stands there for a second, not quite knowing what's going on, and then the top part of his bun just goes flying through the air, and grease sprays upwards in a sort of stylish splatter, and Burgerman.
I quartered that pounder.
next in the order is...
Wait, no, now I'm moving away from the mount.
Okay, great.
I'm going over, kind of this lower exhaust port for the house.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Got you.
So I can see what's going on down at the bottom.
Down at the bottom. Oh yeah, you can see down and see Lorevith, Helgrammet, and a somewhat smaller Pip all kind of standing
and
around.
And for a second, there's a part of me that's so proud to see Hal Grammett and Lorvith working together.
Yeah.
As a team to get the Sundial together.
Communicating, collaborating. That's what it's all about, folks. Yeah. That's how we win. Justin, Lorvith, your turn.
I'd like to cast Catapult on the Sundial.
Awesome.
To shoot it 90 feet into the sky.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so Catapult is for objects weighing 1 to 5 pounds.
You weren't supposed to look. Sorry. I read that 100%. I read it, and you weren't
you
supposed to look
at that. You can cast it as a higher level?
Pounds, yeah.
You can cast it as a higher level?
I'm casting as a third level spell.
Okay, so 15 pounds. This is more than 15 pounds. This is a
says
stone
who?
Sundial.
But hey, I have listen. Also hey, increased listen, hey, my listen. Size.
I so. Want to make this. I want to make this happen for you.
Wait. Question.
Yes.
Pip's hat.
Yeah.
Was big.
Yeah.
So Pip's hat is ostensibly under the same effects as the enlarged reduced magic that is affecting Pip. Correct.
Yes.
Okay. So. The proximity of Pip's hat is what caused that magic to have the effect on Pip's hat, correct?
Okay, I see what you're doing.
So when the sundial is in possession of Pip and the enlarge reduce magics are cast on him, if they are going to affect Pip's hat, they have to then affect the medallion that is in Pip's hand, thereby lowering the class of the object
and reducing
its size so that I could ostensibly blast it up 90 feet with catapult. What do you think about that?
I like it a lot. I like it a lot, Juice. I don't like the swagger.
No, the swaying is like a. No, the. Sorry, that was not a braggadocious swaying. That is like a. What do you think, boss? Maybe you're gonna let him get away with this one. That's like a. Come on, big guy. What can it hurt? Come on, little enlarge reduce shenanigans. I bet Brennan Lee Mulligan would let me get away with it. You know.
Yeah. For sure. Okay, here's what I want. I want you to make a ranged spell attack roll to see how high up this thing's going to get.
Okay.
You shouldn't be able to move it at all, but it is shrunken down. I'm going to say before you roll it, a 15 or higher, full height, 90 feet all the way up, absolutely eat it. Moving down from there, it's going to get less and less. The building is just 30 feet tall, so like you only need to get it, you know, that high.
So just a d20. I'm just going to roll a d20.
All right.
Fair?
Yep.
11.
All right. With an 11, you chuck the sundial, the shrunken sundial, straight up into the air. It goes over the precipice of the roof and greets the sunlight, beginning to grow bright blue as the traces of runic light begin to spread across its surface. Pip is going to stand, you still sort of clutching onto him with one hand, catapulting the sundial on the other. And you see his sort of still pretty massive face look down at you as he reaches towards you with his free hand to crush you in his grip. And just then, Rictus, you and everyone on the roof watch as the sundial just barely inside of the sunlight now freezes and hangs in the air as that blue light begins to spread outward in a sphere encompassing at first just sort of the rooftop around where you're standing and then spreading outward and outward, encircling the entire house and the yard beyond it and the graveyard sort of beyond that. And as this light touches Pip and the corpse mound still remaining on the rooftop, you watch as they slowly reduce to a sort of featureless dark ash that lifts upward and floats away, riding on the sort of sphere of energy, that current as it pushes away from the house. And when the light clears, the sort of spooky trappings of this manor and of the graveyard and the sort of twilight sky have vanished as if they were never there.
All the spooky trappings.
No spooky trap. I mean, it's still a graveyard.
I just got used to all the spooky trappings.
It's still a graveyard, so like there's still, I guess,
bats?
Graves aren't spooky, Griffin.
There's just real bats. There's fewer bats. There's just a natural amount of bats, naturally occurring number of bats.
It's good for the environment. You know, they're natural, like, bug predators. It's good.
As you all stand here now in this sort of ordinary, clear day, this bright morning, you look around as you see all of the zombies have been eliminated. There is a...
Can you say put to rest, please?
They've been put to rest.
Thank you.
The trial's been put to rest. You solved my zombie puzzle, my big zombie puzzle. One of my biggest zombie puzzles yet.
And Hellgrammet yells out, "My plan worked! Good job!"
And the rest of you sort of look around as... you realize, having cleared the trial of necromancy, you see some of the members of the Octave sort of appear by the gates of the graveyard and start to make their way towards you. There's this moment of strange silence as the remaining aspirants look around, realizing that with only two trials to go, your number has dwindled to the Elite Eight.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported directly by you.